We've been talking about it forever, but Blank Game Week 31 is finally here. We debate which Arsenal and City players are worth a hold. So Szoboszlai and Gordon are top of our wish list. We also analyse where we're at with planning after a round of Champions League. Guys, I always love doing this podcast, but I've had a bad day. I've had a bad week. So I'm actually, it's not that bad. I'm being dramatic, but it's actually really nice to all be back together. It's a Wednesday evening. Been one of those days. Got a new car. It's broken already. Got a few issues like that. My daughter keeps waking up. We're recording very late at night. I'm probably going to be up all night. But at least I get to talk to Sam and Jules because we're in a Wednesday late night record because Sam, for some reason, wanted to go to Spurs. They did win at least. And of course, Yay. We have got plenty of information from the Champions League that will help us going forward in FPL. So hello, this will be with you, as it always is, on a Thursday afternoon. Great to be back with you. These guys are going to cheer me up. Right, Jules?
Yeah, of course, girls. Of course. I mean, who else apart from you can buy a car that breaks down after 7 miles?
It's not broken down completely, just all the warning lights came on. I was all proud of my new car. Anyway, no one's listening to this here of my tales of woe, but hopefully if you've had a bad week, that makes you feel a little bit better. Sam's in a slightly better mood because Spurs did win. I'm sure we're going to talk about that at points throughout the podcast. But I think the most important thing is to start with what the Champions League and the progression of Premier League teams means for us in the FA Cup. Not in the FA Cup, in FPL. The FA Cup is also going to play a part in FPL, but we're not going to talk about that right now. So what do we know then? Chelsea and Manchester City have both been knocked out of the Champions League, in case you missed it, which means they're going to have more free midweeks, including the midweek after game week 34. What that means is that if Chelsea win in the FA Cup, their game week 34 fixture against Brighton could actually stay in the midweek that follows because neither of those teams are playing in Europe. This actually means that the double game week we were hoping for these teams might not happen. And the same is true for Manchester City. They face Burnley, although Man City do have a fixture to be rescheduled already against Palace, which has to be moved for this weekend's League Cup final. I think I've basically summed it up. Sam's nodding along, which means I'm normally right. Am I right there?
Yeah, it didn't really matter what happened with Spurs tonight because we're due to play in 34 anyway, being out of the FA Cup. Liverpool.
And we probably knew you were out already, sorry.
Yeah, so it didn't really make much difference. Liverpool obviously have gone through, so they will have a fixture in that midweek. So they could be impacted, but again, it depends on whether they progress in the FA Cup or not. And obviously they've got Manchester City in the FA Cup, so we'll have to see what happens in that one. So yeah, that's that. And Arsenal, again, the other team to have progressed in Europe, they will therefore be playing in the midweek that follows game week 34 and are still in the FA Cup. So that will potentially need rescheduling depending upon what happens to them in their FA Cup game against Southampton.
Gosh, my week nearly got worse. I nearly choked on the bit of water I tried to drink very quickly between that. Jules, I've probably stolen your thunder a little bit by telling the listeners and you guys what that means in terms of what happened in the Champions League for us going forward. But was there anything else that you noticed? Because you're heavily involved in the European fixtures. Was there anything else that you took away from the Champions League this week?
I mean, just what psychologically the impact that some of the defeats especially could have, Newcastle being humiliated away at Barcelona, for example. And, you know, you wonder what kind of effect that could have on the team, on the squad for this weekend's game. But the same can say about Chelsea, Manchester City before the cup final. So I know they're blanking this weekend for us in the game, but they still have one of the biggest games of the season to negotiate now after being knocked out by Real Madrid at home in the way that it happened. So, as you said, only two of the six Premier League teams qualifying for the quarterfinals is probably not what we expected. And that would surely have, just in terms of confidence, for example, apart from Spurs maybe, who won despite being knocked out, in terms of confidence, this could have a negative impact as well on those kind of teams, those players that you might have in your team.
Okay, on to some good news for me this week then. I actually had a nice green arrow. My team did okay, a bit frustrating with my goalkeepers, but I'm kind of up into around 800-900k, which is quite nice. But Sam and Jules, you both actually had better weeks than me. Sam, you had a big rank rise this week.
Oh, I needed this one so
badly. You paused
badly.
Then as if I was wrong. I was like, I don't think I'd get that wrong. I know you had a good game week. I thought you were going to say I'd read the wrong person then.
No, up 600,000 places. So that was really nice. This is the best rank I've had all season. 73 this week. The right captain for a change with Bruno. Even the Dom Szoboszlai goal against Spurs didn't upset me because those 11 points came in really handy. I played Senesi this week. He returned. Gabriel returned. Even relying on Martin Dubravka as my backup goalkeeper, Robin Roofs, being injured. That was delightful as well. Had Thiago for his goal on Monday night. Everything just kind of went well, apart from my Man City assets, who were really disappointing. But everyone else chipping in and doing a decent job. So yeah, 73, a massive green. My goodness, I need to build on that now. Like, game week 31 has to go well now. No pressure at all on that one.
It was one of those weeks where both of you had Senesi over me having Hill. And of course, that made a difference. Well, we've spoken about that kind of dilemma between the two of them a lot, haven't we? But yeah, he proved to be a big person for you. Person? That's a bit of a weird term, isn't it, to use? I suppose he's a person, but also a footballer. Jules, you had a nice green arrow. And actually, I felt for you a little bit. Well, I didn't feel for you because you picked to go with Joao Pedro. He blanked.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is it could have been even better had you done what Sam and I did and went with Bruno.
Yeah. I wish I'd done the same captain as you and Bruno. I would have got 10 more points, obviously, or 8 more points than my 65 points, which is very good. I had a green arrow. I'm 220K in the world now, which is really good. And it's a few green arrows in a row as well. So I'm happy, but you're right. It could have been 73 points instead of 65, and I could have gone even higher up. But the double Bournemouth defense and goalkeeper in Petrovic and Senesi worked really well. Gabriel, Szoboszlai, Bruno, and Igor Thiago were great as well. So it's a bit like Sam, the three Man City players, Haaland, Semenyo, and Gehi, and we'll talk about them later, obviously, blanking, were really disappointing, like their performance, to be fair, against West Ham. So, but still very good. I'm still very happy with it.
Jules, what's your target now? Because where you are, you should be targeting top 100K, surely.
Yeah, that would be great, because it's been a tough season for all of us, as we've been saying. Yeah.
Top 50K, I reckon.
Do you think you can
get
that?
Maybe, hopefully. That's cool. I don't know if I can. It feels quite far away.
No.
What chips have you got?
I only have...
You've got free hit, bench boost.
Free hit. And bench boost, that's it.
I love that you know what chips he's got and he doesn't.
No, well, I just know that we all use the triple captain in the same week and I'm the only one with a wild card left. So that's kind of process of elimination. Okay, so you've still got two chips. But
yeah, it should be interesting. Really should be interesting. It's an exciting end of the season.
I'm feeling a bit uncomfortable because I'm almost cheering you on now because for the sake of the pod and that, I mean, you're way out of distance of myself and Sam. So I hate to... I feel weird saying it, but
I'm going to batter you two already again. You know, we know that, but we're a family, so that's fine.
You're 27 points outside the top 100K and you're 46 points outside the top 50K. Like, that is definitely
doable.
That's
not too bad, yeah.
Think of that sort of his bench show.
I know.
My God. Don't. Cause
imagine.
Make me sick.
Yeah, but also that's like me saying, imagine I didn't do transfers at 6:29 PM. Like...
Yeah, but you do that.
Yeah, but Jules does it with his bench.
But the bench is easier. Transfer is always a bit risky. Not risky, but you,
to be
know,
fair,
you,
also,
you can bring somebody in. And
my boy James Hill was one of my last minute ones. So easy. Right, okay.
Yeah, but
let's move on.
Bench points are so easy. Do you know what I mean? Compared
Stop
to transfers.
Stop making excuses for why you're not going to finish in the top 100K. Let's check in on the FPL Ford Mini League and see how you guys are doing. Henry's still at the top. 53 points for him this week, and that's despite him captaining Haaland. He did the same transfer as Sam, actually, Rice to Tavernier, who was incredibly unlucky once again. That does set him up nicely. I knew that we were going to get a sigh there. Sets him up nicely, like it does for Sam in blank game week 31. Henry is 11 points clear of our new second place manager, who's Pedrom Meschini. Pedrom climbed from fourth to second with 69 points. He captained Bruno, had returns from Rea, Gabriel, Senesi, Dango and Thiago. He also benched Anderson 7 points for his clean sheet as well. And Kim slips to third after a 54-point game week with Greg Wingham climbing from 11th to fourth. That's not bad, is it? With 69 points for the game week. Not too late to join. XY6XPL is the code. Okay then, I am so relieved to say we're finally at blank game week 31, because I feel like a broken record talking about it on this show and also on the Fantasy TV show. We've been bracing ourselves for it forever. I'm wishing I'd sold Erling Haaland a few weeks ago in preparation for this, especially considering I've got a wild card. But yeah, we're here. Arsenal, Man City, Wolves and Crystal Palace, in case you didn't know, we're all blank in 31 because Arsenal and Manchester City are going to play in the League Cup final, which takes place on Sunday afternoon then. So let's work out what we're going to do with our assets and let's start with the league leaders, Arsenal. They've got some of the most popular assets in the game. Are we all benching Gabriel, Jules?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the two Arsenal players that you cannot let go, that you have to keep on your bench, are Raya and Gabriel. The others... Even Timber, you've got Saka, you've got Eze, Incapié, whoever you want, they're good for sale. Sell them, let them go, have a plan to bring them back if you fancy it after they play City, for example, because you might not want them for the City game, which will come after the League Cup final, obviously, and that's fine. As long as you have a plan to bring the ones that you want to bring back, Rice, for example, is another one, no problem. Gyökeres, the same. But Gabriel and Raya are the ones that you cannot let go.
Sam, agree?
Yeah, and Raya should be relatively straightforward because realistically, if you've got Raya as your goalkeeper, that probably means you've got a Dubravka or somebody like that as your spare. So just play them in the blank game week, stick Raya on the bench. And I think realistically with Arsenal, given that they've progressed in the Champions League, given that they're progressed in the FA Cup, and you would expect them to beat Southampton as well in that game, we're probably going to get another double game week out of them. And so you do want to make sure that you're as much as you can be staying invested in Arsenal. Now, I agree with what Jules said, because the other guys, I think it's a little bit more hit and miss as to who you would want. But Gabriel, you absolutely know that you're going to want to have. He is on track to be the highest ever scoring defender in the game. He's already ahead of Robbo, the season that Robbo set the record for the best point scoring defender in the game ever. So we are on track to see that record broken. So yeah, just hold Gabriel, stick him on the bench, put him third, give him a cuddle, pick him up again next week.
Yeah, I think it is easy because a lot of people will have Dubravka. In terms of Declan Rice, Sam, because you obviously sold him, you've been talking about it forever and you finally did it. And then a lot of people have been doing it. No, but it did feel like you. It was a conversation amongst FPL managers, loads of managers. You weren't the only one. What do you do with him? I know you've sold him, so I'm not asking you literally, but you know what I mean?
But honestly, even on Saturday, because it was the later deadline on Saturday, I was backwards and forwards and I couldn't decide what to do. And we went into London for the day on Saturday and I was on the tube and I was conscious that I was going to be underground and have no signal when the deadline passed. And I still hadn't decided what to do. And in the end, I was like, I don't really know how I feel about selling Rice ahead of the game against Everton. Like maybe it's not the right week to do it, but I needed to set up for next week and I could have just done nothing. And actually in the end, him and Tav got the same number of points. They both got 3. So it didn't really matter. But I looked at the results that we've had from Rice over the last few weeks. And, you know, there was a period of time, about a month or so, slightly more ago now, where he was getting regular returns. And mostly they were coming from corners. But if you remember, they were somewhat fortuitous. There was that own goal assist that he got for the header. There was the other one where the opponent handballed it from his corner, gave away a penalty, picked up the assist for that one. Those kind of fortuitous points, we haven't seen them so much lately from Rice, and we haven't been seeing the DEFCONs maybe as much lately either. So the points returns have slipped a little bit. And so because of that, I wasn't convinced that I would want to have him back again, even if Arsenal were to double immediately after game week 31. I wasn't convinced that I would necessarily want him straight back in again. It doesn't mean I won't want Arsenal, but I just wasn't sure it was definitely Rice. And so because of that, that's why I felt comfortable to sell him. I think it's one of those where if you think that there may be a different Arsenal investment that you want to make, or Manchester City when we get to them in a bit, then I think it's fine to sell. But if you do think, no, I definitely know that I want to have Rice from game week 32 through to the rest of the season, then don't sell and just put him on the bench and hold. But for me, I didn't feel like I definitely needed him back again.
Yeah, that was the same for me. I sold him a few weeks ago. I think it was when we were making our decisions, wasn't it, in terms of what we did for 31. It was almost like getting rid of the players that have perhaps produced the least. And it felt like he scored a brilliant goal, didn't he? And he was influential in the Champions League, Jules. Mm. But it felt like there was other good midfield options. So he is sellable. Do you agree?
Yeah, completely. Yeah, I agree. Unless you've got really a lot of money invested in him. But other than that, blanking the last 3 points in his last two game weeks. Then before that, there was a couple of 9-pointers, 5, 4, 5. He's never too far from that because of, you know, DEFCONs and potentially an assist or something like that, because he takes the in-swinging corners or from one side, obviously, of the pitch. But I just think that certainly for this game, this blank game week, and then the City game following up, where you don't really know which way he's going to go that game, I think he's, if you want to bench him, no problem. But depending on what you do with your rest of your City, Arsenal, potentially Palace and Wolves, I said, I would not want to play with 10 players just because I've got Rice on the bench. I would rather sell him, to be fair, and having 11 starters and 11 players and my bench full of, I don't know, Haaland, Gabriel and Semenyo, for example, or something like that, than having Rice there. So I would, he's still in my squad. I will sell him for this game week 31. And then if the form is still there for, I don't know, 33 onwards, then I can always bring back. He's not expensive enough to not being able to bring back.
Okay, I'm going through these players in terms of percentage of ownership. I'm not just doing it randomly. So Gabriel's the most owned, then Raya, then Rice. Now we're going to Timber. Timber for me is someone that a lot of us have parted company with recently. A lot of us had the double Gabriel and Timber. I got rid of him a while ago, as I said. He feels like a slightly easier sell as well at the moment, Jules.
Yeah, I agree. And there's that little injury that he picked up as well. He was not involved in the Champions League in midweek. He was not even on the bench. Ben White played. Mosquera replaced him in that Everton game. So we just don't know either in terms of fitness. So I would not go there. If you have him, again, unless you're heavily invested in him in terms of price, just let him go now and then have a plan to bring him back if really you want to double up defensively for Arsenal again.
Yeah, maybe that injury actually helped us a little bit, doesn't it? Saliba, yeah. Sam is the next one down. There's a big drop off in terms of his ownership. He's only owned by 13.2% of the managers.
Yeah, and I put him in the same camp as all of the others. Like, I think you're unlikely to have any money invested in somebody like Saliba. I think it's an easy move to move him on to somebody else that plays this week. And actually, I think you also have to consider how your team is set up. So if you have two Arsenal defenders, I have you got the three starting defenders that you'll need for this game week? So you might be forced, particularly if you've got somebody like Gehi as well, if you've got, you know, Gabriel, Timber and Gehi in your team, you will have to do something about one of them. And for me, Timber would be the most logical sell of all of those, because I think if you want to double up on the Arsenal defence coming back into the game, then it does kind of make sense to have it be Raya and Gabriel anyway, because then if Arsenal do blank again and then double again, you've always got the backup goalkeeper who can just deal with that for you, whereas the defenders are slightly more problematic.
Yeah, let's just remind you before we move on of Arsenal's fixtures after this blank then, because there's a difficult fixture against Man City, which is in game week 33. But if they beat Southampton in the FA Cup, which of course is on Easter weekend, so that's the weekend after the international break. So we've got kind of a little bit of a hiatus from Premier League football after this weekend because of that and then the Cup. So if Arsenal were to beat Southampton on Easter weekend, they'd then potentially have another blank in game week 34 because they made it through in the Champions League, and therefore we'd expect a double in either game week 33 or 36. So yeah, just bear that in mind when you are planning what you're going to do with your Arsenal players. I think we've been through the most owned players there, and you can probably work out that other than a couple of them, we would recommend to sell. So what about Manchester City then? And let's start, well, with Erling Haaland, who's been causing us a few problems recently, and now another problem because he doesn't have a fixture this weekend, but he is still owned by nearly 60% of the game. I also think this is a very different conversation, Sam, depending on if you have a wild card or not.
Yeah, and I've kind of been at the point where I've been like, no, I'm not going to sell Haaland because I don't have a wild card. It's not so easy to get him back. But I actually think that there's a number of really decent forwards for game week 31 that you could go to that you won't have access to if you hold Erling Haaland. He is also at the point where his ownership is dropping dramatically. He is the most heavily sold player this game week so far. So at some stage, I would expect probably he's going to get a price drop, which will mean that the money that you have invested in him is a little bit less anyway. So in terms of buying him back at a later date, that shouldn't be too much of an issue. You're also unlikely to want to spread the money around the rest of your team, because the reality is none of the premiums are really playing that well. And the ones that maybe you might think about don't have a fixture this week, or, you know, there's better and cheaper options from their clubs in other positions. So I am slowly coming around to the camp of thinking maybe I will sell Erling Haaland this week. It's Chelsea and Arsenal up for them after the blank in 32 and in 33. And then the fixtures get really nice. I think the appeal of having him was the potential for two double game weeks. Part of it. Now they're out of the Champions League, we're probably just going to get the one rescheduled fixture, the game against Palace that should be being played this weekend. Where that fits remains to be seen. But the fixtures that they have from game week 34 onwards definitely look like fixtures that you'll want Manchester City assets for. I just think probably you can take a little bit of a pump for the next couple of weeks and not have him. And that might be what I do this week.
Interesting. What about you, Jules?
Yeah, I think it's a tricky one. One goal in five in the competitions. He scored against Real Madrid on Tuesday night, but I thought he looked off. He really did. sometimes there's his movement in the box, which used to be so sharp and so smart and so everything. I don't recognize it sometimes. So I don't know what's going on. It might just be a bit of a dip in form fitness wise, and he's going to come back up very soon. He might be great in the cup final, for example. And after that, it just goes again. And, you know, for all strikers, confidence is so important. And right now he looks maybe a little bit short of that kind of confidence that we've been so accustomed to seeing with him. And that's the thing. I won't sell because the ownership is still too high, and I want him back even for the Arsenal game the weekend after. And I agree with Sam after the international break. But I agree with Sam from game week 34. You would want Haaland back, especially if it scored a little bit more, and if that kind of form is back. And you know what? Maybe going away with Norway, where he might be on fire like he used to with Norway earlier in the season, might do him a lot of good. And after that, he's coming back revitalized and ready to go again for City, and you would want him back. So I will keep him, bench him in the blank game week. I think he's too dangerous, too risky to sell him.
Yeah, it just feels like we've been saying that all season, doesn't it? And
too bad all season, but
no, the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's true.
I think because it's particularly been on my radar because I've got a wild card. And knowing the two fixtures are Chelsea and Arsenal coming out of the blank game week, as Sam said, but 34, then it's Burnley, then we go Everton, Brentford, Bournemouth, Aston Villa. So you probably do need a plan to get him back. And also maybe depends on what other Man City assets as well you have, because I guess Sam and I, well, we both have Semenyo, don't we? So it makes you feel a little bit better that you're kind of invested in him. I'm presuming, Sam, you're going to keep him.
Yeah, like Semenyo and Gahey, I think probably I want to hold both of them. I've got my three defenders that I can play out this week. And I think when I look at the fixtures that we have coming up, I would rather get another forward and attacking player than another defender. And so therefore that would mean I would have to sell either Semenyo or Haaland in order to get a starting 11 out. And Semenyo feels like a player I do not want to sell. I've got more money invested in him. I stand to lose more by selling him. He's a player that isn't in the same sort of malaise that Haaland is. We're seeing regular returns from him. All right, we didn't get one out of game week 30, but generally speaking, we're getting returns from Semenyo on a more regular basis. And I do think that Semenyo has disrupted Haaland a little bit since he's arrived. It's since Semenyo's been there that we've seen a bit of a decline in Haaland's underlying data. So if it comes down to a choice between the two of them, I would rather hold Semenyo than I would Haaland for those two game weeks.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And do you understand that, Jules?
I'm not sure with Semenyo. I'm really not. Zero goals in his last four games. And it's not just the no goal. He's got one shot, two shot, zero shot. And okay, fair. In the last one, he came on for the last 20 or 25 minutes against Newcastle in the FA Cup away from home. I think his form was dropped a bit like City's form, a bit like Haaland's form, to be fair. I agree with Sam. I'm not sure the Semenyo-Haaland kind of partnership really works at the moment. Mm. And I think it's either both of them are not very good, or one is good and not the other, but rarely them at the same time together. And I'm not sure that Guardiola's rest of the team selection, i.e. no Shirky or just a lack of creativity, is helping either of them, to be fair. So I think I changed my mind a lot on Gahey and Semenyo, but right now the mind is on letting them both go and then see what their form is like after the Chelsea-Arsenal game and that kind of combo and see if I bring one of them back or both of them back. But right now I'm not convinced by Gahey defensively in this City defense and by Semenyo and Haaland, and I would rather keep Haaland and let the other two go.
Okay.
So what will you do? Will you just play a back four?
No, I've got three transfers, so I can put Gabriel and Haaland on the bench and then Rice, Semenyo and Gahey are going, potentially.
Oh, wow. Okay. Going big. To be fair, though, we've justified the Rice sale, haven't we? You've just justified Semenyo and Gahey. So, yeah, makes a lot of sense. That's why you bank up your transfers, I guess. Any other City assets? I think they're the mainly owned ones, aren't they, that we've spoken about in terms of what managers might be thinking, Sam, of doing, of needing to do?
Yeah. Once you get past Gahey, it's quite a big drop off to then Reinders down at 9.5%. I think if you've got somebody like Reinders, he's an easy sell. Foden's still quite heavily owned at 8%. He's a very easy sell. O'Reilly's maybe more of a conversation, but again, you won't have a lot of money invested in O'Reilly. And I think he's a relatively straightforward buyback if you want, but then it's Chelsea and Arsenal next. So I don't really see clean sheets in those two. I think you can wait for bringing him back. Donnarumma's an easy hold, because if you've got Donnarumma, you've almost certainly got Dubravka or somebody on your bench. So just, you can play them. So yeah, I think those are the big talking points. It's just deciding whether, again, like Arsenal, you just have to decide whether you want them back. And the thing with City is at some stage, that Palace fixture has to be rescheduled. So there will be a double. And that puts me off selling too many of them, because I'll need them for that.
Okay, quick word then on Crystal Palace. Now, the likelihood is, given everything that we've said, your benches are going to be filled with probably your two Arsenal players and your one City, or vice versa. So you might be forced to sell your Crystal Palace players. And maybe it's made a little bit easier by the fact that they've got mixed fixtures. However, there will be at least one double with the Manchester City match needing to be rescheduled. If you had Palace players, Munoz is back, so maybe he'd be kind of someone, I don't know. Jules, what would you do with Palace? Would you just sell them?
Yeah, I think I would let them go. Even Munoz, Henderson, Lacroix. I mean, most likely you would have defenders anyway. Maybe Ismail Assar, his ownership is not too bad. But for the rest, I don't think the ownership is that high anyway. If you have a Strand Larsen, I don't know who else you could get. Wharton,
I was also
probably
struggling to think of players. Richards is a good example. Yeah,
Richards is a good example. But maybe Richards, again, because he's cheap and you won't have much money invested, although his price rose a few times, maybe it's a bit more difficult. But it's not like if Crystal Palace were on great form and, you know, having won 10 games in a row in the Premier League either. So yeah, I think you should let go and reinvest that money somewhere better.
We'll have a fleeting word on Wolves, because they also blank, but no Wolves players are owned by more than 1%, 1.9% of managers, sorry. So I think a lot of people bought them in for their double and then have kind of parted company since. So actually, they've got some really good fixtures coming up after this blank. West Ham, Leeds, Tottenham, Sunderland, Brighton, Fulham, Burnley. We don't need to debate whether the greatest escape from time is on, but they are all winnable and they've got some form as well. So Sam, whilst people probably haven't got them now, I wonder if once we get into game week 32, we're going to be having a conversation about bringing them in.
Absolutely.
Some of their cheap assets, at least.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you have one right now, just sell them, because you don't need to carry a Wolves player through. But if you are wildcarding into game week 32, then you can absolutely have a look at a Wolves asset. I'm not quite sure where you'd go yet. The goalkeeper, I certainly would take a look at on wildcard. Particularly if you want to go for a cheap rotating pair, these fixtures are great. So yeah, if you've got Wolves, just sell them for now. But let's revisit Wolves when we come back after the international break, because I think with the fixtures that they have between now and the end of the season and the form that they're starting to show, they'll be investable.
How many players do we need? Because I know a few people saying they're just going to play through
11
with 10. Well, I know how many players you need for a full 11 football team, Jules, thank you. I meant for this game week, because sometimes people will go, no, I've got too much money invested in all my City and Arsenal players. And I actually think losing the value in them is more detrimental than playing through with 10. We're all going to have 11, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I hate the idea of going into a game week with 10. I just need a handicap to start with.
So normally I think you can, but this season I think there's far less onus to be put on team value, because we don't have to have the Salahs and the Haalands and all of these expensive assets in there together. Like, realistically, I can see a world where the most expensive player I have in my team from this week onwards is Bruno Fernandes, and that doesn't feel terrible. That feels fine. And so if that's the case, then if you lose 0.2 on a player, and we really are talking about probably 0.2 or 0.3 at most that you're losing one of these assets, it's really not that bad, because if other managers are selling as well, you're probably going to get a bit of that back anyway. So yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about team value right now.
Sam, is there a case for a free hit this week?
I think if Man City had gone through in the Champions League, I would have said maybe more so yes, because then you will probably be looking at two double game weeks for Manchester City, and therefore you probably want to hold their players through. I think the reality is that we've been talking about this for so long that most managers are probably at a stage where they don't have six or seven blanking players. They're probably looking at a team with a maximum of five blanking players, and probably a couple of transfers in order to be able to do it. So I don't think there is. I think actually there could be more upside for playing it in a double game week later, particularly if we, you know, because we might not actually get many blanks in game week 34, and we might be able to find we can play through that as well and therefore use it to really target in on a double game week later on, or use it in my favourite week at the final game week of the season, because then you have the real opportunity to go mad on players that have really got something that they have to fight for. So yeah, for me, I don't see the value in it in 31, unless you are looking at a team that's like, if you've opened your app and gone, oh my goodness, I've got seven players missing and I don't know what to do because I've got one free transfer, that's the time for a free hit. But if you've got five and a couple of transfers, just make the transfers and then bring those players back later.
Okay, so we've told you a lot about the players that you should sell. You might be wondering which players you should bring in. So let's talk about the players that we're targeting. Jules, anyone hot on your shopping list? If you've got three going out, you need to have three coming in.
Yeah, I like the look of Manchester United fixtures. Friday night away at Bournemouth, then it's Leeds at home, because they're in great form as well. And okay, they're not always playing great football, as we saw again last weekend. But they found a way against Villa to win. Bruno was amazing, and most of the people listening to our show would have Bruno. If you don't have him, go and get him now, whatever it costs you, but go and get Bruno. He's in great form. He might get even player of the season. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get it, especially if United finish third, for example. So there's a big case there. Outside of Bruno, I think Cunha is in really good form, even playing slightly out of position. You could go for Sesko, who, whether he's on the bench or not, seems to have an impact on this team at some point in a game. Even Casemiro, if you fancy, Brazilian vibes, then go for him. He's the best header in the league by far this season. So I think United are a very attractive proposition if you're looking for players to target this game week.
Yeah. Sam, do you agree?
Yeah, I do. And I think, that makes a lot of sense. But we had a whole conversation, I did off the bench this week, and we had a whole conversation about whether you can buy a Sesko because he, keeps getting put on the bench, but he keeps coming off the bench and getting points. And I think, normally we sit on podcasts and we say, get the 90-minute man, get the ones that, they're guaranteed to start, they're the talisman of their clubs. I think he is a bit of an unusual case, and you have to kind of look at him differently because the returns are just so consistent from him, whether he starts, whether he comes off the bench. And so I think he's a really decent option. And the midfielders, it's going to be a bit frustrating if you've had Mbeumo for the last few weeks, because obviously we haven't really had those returns from him. Obviously it was Cunha this week alongside Bruno. But yeah, I agree with what Jules said. I think Manchester United look like a really decent investment, not just for the blank, but moving forward into the next few weeks.
Was Sesko one of the forwards that you were going to mention when you said about selling Haaland and there being other nice options?
Yeah, I think there's a few. I think he's definitely one of them. Oh, going to go completely rogue with this now, but I think Richarlison is another one. I think he's a really nice option.
As a joke then, I was going to say, don't tell me you're going to say Richarlison.
And then you go, I am. We've unlocked relegation Richarlison, and he's decided he's going to spearhead the team into some sort of survival mode, and now I'm here for it. And obviously couldn't play in the Champions League, so he's had a midweek rest. I think it's a really nice opportunity to go for someone like him. Obviously there's Jarrod Bowen, who is putting his hand up all the time, is a really nice forward option. I also quite like Jimenez, despite the blanking in game week 30. I still think Jimenez is a decent option at Fulham now, particularly now Harry Wilson is back. I think the pair of them work really nicely together. Like genuinely, you've got Hugo Ekitike, you've got João Pedro. There's loads of forwards right now. Thiago is obviously still in the mix. Loads of them that are just kind of there going, yeah, I'm a decent option for this week. And I think Sesko is absolutely one of them.
Any other forwards, Jules, that you would consider, or any standout ones that Sam mentioned?
No, I think Villa have decent fixtures as well. West Ham, Fulham, and then Sunderland.
Oh, but do they have the form,
Jules?
They're
in better form, exactly.
Yeah.
That's
the
thing.
Watkins
or Rodgers are the only two, but they're not even in good form. However, I think, as we've seen earlier in the season, they are capable individually of doing something a bit special. I would not go there personally, but I think if you look at fixtures, maybe more than form and individual quality, because Rodgers and Watkins are very, very good players anyway. I think there might be something, if you want a differential, if you are behind in your midi league and you want a bit of a gamble and go for a punt somewhere, I think West Ham for Villa, in the position that they are in, with how much points they need to finish top five this season, they would have to go for it at some point. They would have to be better. And maybe now or the Fulham game after that, after the international break, is not a bad idea to bring one of them, maybe. I know it's a push, but...
As a Rodgers owner, I have been keeping him for the fact he has a fixture this week and for the fixtures ahead. But it's a hard hold, isn't it?
I know.
Yeah. Okay. midfielder-wise, Sam, if people are selling a Declan Rice or someone, who would be the standouts? I was looking, but I think Jules made a really valid point about the impact of their Champions League exit this evening. I was looking at Anthony Gordon. I really liked him as an option. Being honest, I wanted to sell Morgan Rodgers for him, but obviously that doesn't make a lot of sense when Morgan Rodgers plays, but I really like Anthony Gordon as an option. But I think Jules makes a very valid point about we don't know the psychological impact of midweek. That said, I think Gordon's pretty mentally strong, and I think he's got a bit of a point to prove. He obviously came out and said what he said after the Chelsea game about pundits writing him off about why he didn't play against Barcelona in the first leg. He wants to play for England. I think he's a really good option for England to play through the middle if Harry Kane isn't fit. So I feel like he's got a lot to play for. I just don't know if maybe this is actually the week to get him or not. But Newcastle have decent fixtures as well, Sam.
They have.
It's the Sunderland derby, and they're definitely going to want revenge on what happened in the last derby. Yeah. Like I think there's two ways that they react to that game, right? Against Barcelona, they either go in on themselves and it's a terrible disaster and Sunderland win the second of the derbies. I don't see that with Anthony Gordon though. He's a bit of he's got grit and he's got battle. And I just kind of feel like that they might just turn up for this derby and go, all right, that was a disaster. Let's move on. Let's put it to bed and let's win this game, you know, against our rivals in our home stadium and put to bed what happened earlier on in the season. And then you come back after the international break, if you've brought in Gordon and you've got Palace, Bournemouth, all right, there's a difficult game in there against Arsenal, but then it's Brighton and Forest. Like, that's a nice run for Newcastle. And he definitely seems to prefer playing Gordon over the likes of Altamada and Wissa right now. So I think he's still a really decent option and he's relatively cheap. It's relatively easy to move from a Declan Rice over to him. I don't think you can sell Morgan Rodgers-Kyle Sadio. I think we're stuck with him for another couple of weeks because he's got a fixture and it's West Ham and then it's Forest. So I think we have to stay there. But I think if you've still got a Rice or if you're selling a Semenyo, I quite like Anthony Gordon for the next few weeks. And he does feel like a pick that you can hold long term. And I also think that we have to start thinking about if we're trying to play through 34, we also have to consider the teams that will definitely have a fixture. Now, he might not because he's due to play Arsenal in game week 34. So again, it could mean a double game week on the horizon if you can cover out a blank for them, depending upon what happens with Arsenal in the FA Cup.
Yeah, plenty of time for us to discuss blank game week 34. But as Sam said then, and we'll know more as the weeks go on, obviously. We do know that Sunderland, Nottingham Forest, Fulham, Aston Villa, Manchester United, Brentford and Spurs will definitely play in blank game week 34 as they and the team that they're due to play are both out of the FA Cup. So yeah, something to consider as well. I think we've thrown a few names in there as game week 31 targets. Any other targets you've got, Jules, before I move on?
No, I mean, maybe just Liverpool, we said. Brighton, Fulham, Everton coming up for them.
But also, which Liverpool turn up? Is it the Liverpool that turned up at the weekend or the Liverpool
just get
turned
Dom
up tonight?
Sobozlai. He turns up every time.
Yeah. Oh, Sobozlai, he's the must have. Yeah. If you want, he's the best player in that team this season. He's the leader.
He's unreal.
He's on set pieces. Yeah, exactly. He runs everywhere. He's a machine physically. You could go for Van Dijk, but defensively, we've seen them a bit shaky and you would hate missing out on a clean sheet and those points because they're just a bit wobbly now and again, as we saw against Spurs and that kind of games for them. So maybe not go for a defender, but go for Sobozlai. And if you want an Ekitike and Wirtz and you've got that kind of money, then yeah, why not? Because their fixtures are really good. And I know they haven't been great, but they have a bit of momentum with that Champions League kind of mini comeback, if you want. It was not a big comeback, but it was a mini comeback coming up. And they need points badly to finish top five as well.
Yeah, we probably should have mentioned Sposley earlier in that chat because he's probably the standout midfield pick or buy this week, isn't he, I think? On to differential of the week. Sam won last week with Tavernier, a grand total of 3 points. You only won because Jules' selection of 8 Nori, which he didn't exactly convince us with.
No, didn't like anyway, did you?
No, got 1 point and actually was subbed off on 59 minutes. Classic. So go on then, Sam, who have you gone for? By the way, also, kudos for bringing in your differential.
Yeah, and I feel like I was a bit unlucky not to get something more out of him. Like the last couple of weeks, he really should have. He loves hitting the post, and then he missed DEFCON by one. And I was like, oh, come on, man. I was counting them, and we only managed 11, but never mind. So, with Erling Haaland the most sold player this week, I was kind of pondering on helping out those who think that they might want to sell Haaland. I obviously can't go for the obvious picks in João Pedro and Ekitike. And I think at this point in the season, you have to look at kind of differentials over the next couple of weeks. Now, I know that Jules loves to complain about my pick. So I actually went back to the spreadsheet that, yes, Jules, you do.
Yeah, go on.
So I went back to the spreadsheet that I keep a tally to make sure I hadn't picked him before the season, because I was absolutely convinced I would have. And I haven't, but you have. But it was like back in game week eight or something.
What? So Kelly,
it
doesn't count. You're the referee.
No,
is there
it
something?
Doesn't count. Kelly, that's fine. We haven't had him since game week eight, and it was Jules and not me.
I think you're making up your own rules there, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait.
But if you win this.
Wait, because you have picked players that I picked after I picked them this season. So that's fine. You've done it.
So we'll, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because I did check
that
this because I knew you'd moan.
Didn't it, Jules?
Yeah.
I knew you'd moan. And I was checking this from the stands at Spurs tonight, making sure that I had that right. And it's definitely right. So I've got Jarrod Bowen.
I
haven't
God.
Had him whole season.
If you win this week, this is going to be tainted, by the way.
I know it will now. Yeah. So it's going to cost you 7.5 million. So if you're selling Erling Haaland, it's really easy to get to him, obviously, because you can get anywhere. He's only owned, well, I say only, but I was surprised to see that he's owned by 8.3% of the managers. I thought he'd be higher than that, given the form that he's been in. He's returned in all of his last five Premier League matches and seven of their last eight matches. In fact, weirdly, the only blank he's had came against Burnley, which I was surprised about. He's also the forward with the most defensive contribution so far this season, and he's facing a Villa side who have just one clean sheet in the last seven Premier League matches and have conceded 9 goals in their last 3 Premier League matches. So, Jules, I know you'll complain, but it's just Bowen.
Okay. Jules, who are you going to go with your fave Frenchman?
I mean, I wanted to jinx Sam and go for Xavi Simmons, but I'm too kind. I can't do
that.
Oh,
yes, yeah, so kind.
I went from, I think by still mentioning him as a potential differential for you, I'm jinxing him. 2 goals against Atletico Madrid tonight. I thought he played really well. Very low ownership, 1.1%. But anyway, I've gone for Malik Cho at Newcastle, because we mentioned the Newcastle fixtures are good, not just for this game week coming up in the derby, but for the next two, at least until the Arsenal game. 6.6% ownership, only 5 million. I think it's a really good price for a player like him, who's very good in the air on set pieces. He's returned in his last 2 games. I know Newcastle haven't always defended the best way, but it seems like a good pick for this week.
Okay. All right. I'm not wild about that pick either, to be honest, but you'll probably outscore Sam. I'm joking. Transfers and captains. Go on, Sam. Go first.
I think I'm going to...
Are you going to roll?
No. Oh. I've got to get 11. But I've got 4 free transfers. So, but I feel a bit weird only using one of them. But I think I'm just going to do Haaland to Richarlison.
I mean, that's bold. That is like the Spurs fan in you.
Sam is chasing. So if you're ever going to be bold, this is probably the time.
I feel like I've got Richarlison, relegation battling Richarlison unlocked. He's not played in midweek. My goodness me, is it a 6-pointer at the weekend when I really need him? And nothing will bring me... Can you imagine how happy I'll be if I sit there...
I reckon you'll cry.
I think that's likely. I think that's likely. So I think this week feels like the time where I have to be a bit bold. Like, I made massive gains last week. I can go for a massive differential and hope that it comes out. And actually, would I be terrible? Would I find it awful to hold a Spurs asset? Like, I mean, I know that we've been terrible, but we haven't got that many games left now to save our literal Premier League lives. And the fixtures aren't bad for Spurs over the next few weeks. Obviously, it's Forest at the weekend. And then would it be awful to hold him for Sunderland, Brighton, Wolves, Villa and Leeds? No.
Let's review it after the Forest game.
Yeah, exactly. Can I change my differential? Richarlison,
5.7%
owned.
It now.
6.3 right. million. It's quite cheap, to be fair. No, I'm kidding.
Stop it.
Also, behave. You have to believe in your differential, and it's very obvious you don't believe in him.
Yeah.
Sam, who's your captain going to be?
Bruno, I think. I think I'm going to stick with Bruno again. It feels like Bruno's route to points is great.
Oh,
and it feels
a
bit weird.
Friday night game, though, isn't he? Oh.
Yes, it feels a bit weird because, one, it's the Friday night game, and 2, I've got 3 Bournemouth players in my team.
Also, it's away from home. I don't like United as much away from home. But
no, nor do I. But I can't captain Richarlison on Sunday afternoon, can I? So, I've got to go a bit different. I mean, I could go Dom Szoboszlai. I always like him. But again, he's got an away fixture as well. I don't have João Pedro. I think I'll probably just go Bruno.
Jules?
Yeah, Bruno is possible, especially after missing out on his points in the last game week. But Harry Wilson against Burnley at home for Fulham, and I know Fulham are a bit hit and miss at times, but he's been good when he's been fit lately, even lately. That's a possibility. So I haven't decided fully yet.
Confirm your three transfers for us.
Yeah, it's very likely to be Lewis Hall or Malik Cho for Gehi, Cunha for Semenyo, and Gordon for Rice.
Okay. I was the one that mentioned Gordon, and I didn't know one ever agrees with me normally, so it's quite nice that actually you
I'd written it already, and then I wasn't sure, and I was waiting, but you kind of convinced me, Kels, as well. So, yeah, I like
Yeah, you kind of made me a bit... You did make me think a little bit, though, psychologically, but I just think an Eddie Howe team will get themselves up for a derby.
Yeah, and it's the derby, as you said,
What are you going to do, Kels?
Oh, yeah, I know why you're asking me, because you're trying to catch me. I would like to sell Haaland.
Yeah? Do you want to come on the Richarlison bandwagon with me?
I'll sell... No. Sounds like a really... It sounds like a roller coaster bandwagon that... And I love Richarlison ex Watford and all that, but I just don't know if I'm willing... I don't quite have the same faith that you do. I just don't know. I've already got Pedro and I've got Ekitike.
Yeah.
So selling Haaland is hard because I don't know quite who else I'd go for. I could go for a Thiago. But I've got Dango in my midfield to cover the Brentford points a little bit. So I'm not wild about that. I'm not wild enough on Raul Jimenez. So I would like to sell Haaland. I just think that I've already got the obvious replacements for this game week. I really like Anthony Gordon. So maybe Semenyo to Anthony Gordon. But I've got a little bit more money in Semenyo than I have in Haaland. So Semenyo is a harder sell. Or I upgrade my other defender. Mukiele is still on my bench. And I upgrade him so that I pair back four. But it just doesn't feel fun, that. To me, that doesn't feel like someone that's trying to chase a bit of rank, which is what I'm trying to do. So yeah, I haven't fully decided.
So Richarlison then?
I can categorically on record say right now it will not be Richarlison.
I will actually love it if you come in our group chat on Friday night and go
5:58.
Absolutely
1 minute
no way.
Before the deadline, and somehow I've got Richarlison.
If that
I'll
happens,
be here for that.
I will not.
I'm sorry,
Sam.
I panicked, and then I could not think about anybody else. And then I did. Oh my god, what did I do? Oh my
if
god, oh my
that
god.
That happens, guys. I won't be posting in the WhatsApp group. I'll leave you to see it, okay? Because I'll be too embarrassed.
Oh,
I'm joking.
I can't wait.
I actually
I'll
love Richarlison, so I feel quite mean. Like I said, ex Watford, learn it all at Vicarage Road. So I'm not going to say anything ill against the man, but unfortunately, he's not.
You could go Jarrod Bowen.
My FPL team. I could, yeah, I could. And I like that fixture as well. But that's what I mean. There's options that I like, but I don't love. And I think there is better midfield options that I like. And I've been looking at Anthony Gordon all week. It's my England bias once
You're
again.
You're definitely doing something rogue. It's going to be rogue last
It'll be
minute
Rodgers,
before the
won't
deadline.
It? It'll be Rodgers. And then I'll play through with 10 just because I'm so obsessed with getting rid of Morgan Rodgers. And then he'll score a hat trick because even when he has got points in the last few weeks, I've benched them. Anyway, this is enough of my ramble because this podcast has reached its conclusion, I think. It's a Friday night deadline this week, 6:30 p.m. UK. So I'm 90 minutes ahead of that game, which could have a lot of FPO interest in it. Bournemouth match against Manchester United. The Fantasy Show is back on Friday. We'll also have Off the Bench for you on Monday. Harry and Oscar will be there to talk through all the talking points for game week 31. And as always, despite it being international break, we will still be working hard to bring you a podcast in our usual slot next week of Thursday afternoon. Thanks for cheering me up, guys. I've almost forgotten about my car. Great. Bye.